Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
It was a very poorly officiated basketball game.
We don't get the respect that these guys deserve. I'm not going to let them treat us that way. Kawhi shot more free throws than our whole team. Explain it to me.
He was standing next to me the other night, and he wasn't breathing. I'm going to check the rule book and find out if robots are allowed to play in the NBA.
You know, I know Pop's got pedigree, and I'm a young rookie, but they're not going to rook us.
We got to get off of this load management crap. This kid's 19 years old. Like, drop it already.
It was a make or miss league. That's really what it came down to at the end, and they made him.
Take that for data.
The closing to any argument. Welcome to The Jump. Woo! I'm Rachel Nichols. Our insider Brian Windhorst is here. And yes, former Grizzlies and Knicks head coach David Fizdale back on set with us.
Thanks for having
us. We are thrilled to have you.
Happy to be here.
I love your greatest hits playing there. There will be more sitting at this desk. He is not afraid to speak his mind. And I'm thrilled to have you here anytime, but particularly as we honor Dr. Martin Luther King today.
Absolutely.
You have taken many players to the Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, and you've also written very eloquently on Dr. King, what he did for America, but also how much of his work is still yet to be done.
Yeah, I just think that we can never forget what he was trying to accomplish and what he was trying to get done, especially in today's times. I think his voice is still speaking to us from the grave.
Absolutely. That message needs to continue. Coming up, we will look back at Fiz's tenure in New York City. Oh, yes, and how we got to where we are today. You're not going to want to miss that. First, though, today is the deadline, people. The last day the NBA will let fans, media, players vote for who should start in the All-Star game. You have up until 11:59 Eastern time tonight. After that, your ballot turns back into a pumpkin. So where are we? Well, here are the latest fan returns. Remember, you get three front court players, two guards from each conference. So in the West, it's LeBron, AD, and Kawhi, with Paul George and Nikola Jokic on the outside right now looking in. And at guard, Luka and James Harden with Dame Lillard and, yep, the Lakers' Alex Caruso knocking on the door there. In the East, the fans picked Giannis, Pascal Siakam, and Joel Embiid up front, with Jimmy Butler and Jason Tatum still trying to elbow their way in there. And at guard, Trae Young and Kyrie Irving, with Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose still trying to get in. Now, before you get all up in arms about any of these names, complaining that it's just a popularity contest, remember two things. Number one, this literally is a popularity contest, which is okay, because All-Star isn't all NBA. It's not MVP or Defensive Player of the Year. Yeah, we want to select the best players, but within that, there should be a little extra weight on who thrills and entertains the most, because that is what All-Star is actually supposed to celebrate. And then number two, don't get all crazy about the fan vote, because only counts for 50%. That change was made a few years ago when internet voting flooded the ballot box and Zaza Pachulia was nearly named an All-Star starter. So now, fans get 50%, the media gets a 25% say, and the players have their own vote for a 25% say as well. Which sounds good, although the players also don't have the best track record. Some don't vote at all, some vote for their friends. Last year, Kevin Love got votes despite having played in just 4 games. Ben Moore also got a vote, and if you're saying who, it's because he's a two-way player who has never scored a single point in his NBA career. Still, overall, I am good with the 50%, 25%, 25% split. It keeps any group of us from being too dangerous. My problem is the front court, back court designations. Paul George, listed as a forward on your ballot, even though the Clippers have listed him at guard the majority of the times that he has been in the starting lineup. Jimmy Butler can only be a forward on your All-Star ballot, which means he probably won't make the cut as a starter this year. That is a little bit insane considering he is the unquestioned engine of a Miami team that's number 2 in the East, and also considering what he actually does on the basketball court. You cannot tell me he does less than traditional guard type things than, say, Ben Simmons, who is listed at that position, or Jaylen Brown. And oh, by the way, there's LeBron. You know, the guy who takes the ball up the court for the Lakers and leads the league in assists. You can't vote for him at point guard, though, because, yeah, I actually don't know why. In this era of the NBA, positions are at best blurry and often just non-existent. All-star voting needs to catch up so that when the All-Star game tips off and there's that great panning camera shot of what's supposed to be the 10 biggest stars of the league on the same court, you actually get the 10 biggest stars. That's the goal here, and it shouldn't require a fairy godmother for it to happen. Coach Fitz, if you were the king of all things, there was no 50-20-25 split. It was just about David Fizdale's choices. Give me your all-star starters.
All right, so they got it right. The fans got it right on the West.
Okay.
I think Harden, Luka Doncic, Kawhi, Bron, AD. Mm-hmm. I think that's the starting lineup out West. But I agree with you. Jimmy Butler is a starter in the East All-Star game. Mm-hmm. He's listed at the wrong position. He should be the starting two guard on the East. And then I think it's between Ben Simmons and Kemba Walker as the point guard. But the other three guys, absolutely. Antetokounmpo, Siakam, and Embiid, they all deserve to be starters. But again, I think Jimmy Butler is the one that's being left out of this.
So you can't put him where you'd want to put him. So you put Kemba Walker and Ben Simmons in your two guards.
He basically just violated the rules by changing the game.
Well, yes, no, he put it by the
but
rules.
Simmons under the certain rules. But I just think that there's just no way Jimmy Butler shouldn't be starting. You're the number two team in the East. You're the catalyst of the team. You're a two-way player. You know, to get that young team to where they are and him being the leader, he should be the starter in the East.
So could you knock one of the forward starters on your list there out for Jimmy?
I can't, because those other guys, they really deserve it, and that's their position.
Right.
And so I just think it's fair to them that they get to be listed at their position. I just feel like Jimmy Butler is a two guard in our league, and he should be listed as a two.
Yeah, technically, Duncan Robinson is listed as the Heat starting shooting guard, which, if you watch them, it's not really true. He plays small forward, but it's sort of a gray area. To me, Rachel, the only place where this was tough in the media vote was that East guard, because you can't put Jimmy. So the difficulty is, who do you give the two guard spots to? As Coach Fizz was just talking, I'm going to go with Kemba in one. I went with Bradley Beal as the other one, but I'm going to be honest with you. You could make a case for Malcolm Brogdon. You could make a case for Ben Simmons, you could make a case for Trae Young. You could make a case for a lot of different players there.
You're going to get heat for Bradley Beal. You know what people are going to say to you.
He doesn't play enough games. Well, anybody who wants to bring Ben Simmons to me, I'm not going to argue with them. Say, okay, it's fine, you can go with Ben Simmons. I went with Bradley Beal because he's averaging the highest amount of points and assists in his career. And he's having a great season, and I think he's shown good leadership. Now, he expressed a little bit of frustration over the weekend about the Wizards situation after I made my vote. But I felt that he'd shown good leadership.
You need to be like me and vote at 11:58 p.m.
Yes. She boards the plane right as the door is closing. It's extremely annoying.
That is my M.O. all the way through. The Jimmy Butler thing is interesting only in that the league will tell you, to your point, the Heat list him at forward. And they do. But that is really about the other four players that they think should be starting. And they got to put some guys somewhere. So Jimmy slots into that forward spot on the lineup. But he plays as a shooting guard. Yeah. And we all know it. And by the way, they're listing Paul George as a forward. And the Clippers don't do that. Right. So you can't sit here and say, well, the Heat are listing him as a forward. They've got Paul George not in the position.
Ben Simmons and LeBron essentially play the same way. LeBron's exactly. listed as a
right.
forward. I mean, when David was in Miami and I was covering the Heat, Spo used to call
positionless basketball.
That's what it is.
One through five. That's
One through five. And a lot of times you're looking at LeBron now, he's at an all-time high in touches, and it's because he plays point guard.
Yes.
And right now he's listed as a forward in this whole deal.
Sticking to those kinds of positions, I just think that guys should be available at multiple spots.
Our league is not a position league anymore. I just, I don't care how you slice it. You know, you got seven-footers bringing the ball up the court now. And it's just, you can't just label a guy and put a guy in a box like you used to. I mean, this kid, Luka Doncic, he's a point guard. Mm-hmm. I don't care how you slice it.
Right, and he's listed as point guard, but his size in previous eras of the NBA, he would be a forward.
No doubt about it.
Look, I think all NBA needs to change as well. When you're talking about stuff like this, where we want the 10 best guys on the court to start. And that opening shot, you just want that playground fantasy of all these guys playing together. It should be the 10 biggest stars. That's who it should be. And again, all-star stars. Later in the year, we'll do who has the technically best statistics and analytics and all the things that we do. This is about razzle-dazzle, because that is a huge part of what makes the NBA popular.
Absolutely.
Is stars. We should be celebrating those guys at this time of year. Now, we also have the All-Star Reserves, which is made up of stars as well, because these are such good players through and through. You have voted for All-Star Reserves as an NBA coach. It drives some of the rest of us crazy who you guys pick. How do you guys pick who you pick?
I always look at winning first. I think winning is a big part of team, and a lot of times those reserve guys are the glue to why a team wins. Then I get into the statistics behind that. But then I do give some credence to it, to those guys who are putting up huge numbers, even if their team isn't necessarily a team that's in the playoff race. But I try to keep it in that pecking order. I just think winning is important. To it should be notified and noticed that a guy is helping his team win. And, you know, those guys work their butts off to be recognized. A lot of times they don't get the praise of the stars, but I do think that those guys should be acknowledged.
Yeah, you know, a lot of things become public in today's NBA. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of leaking. We never find out the coaches' ballots. We never find it out. The only ways we typically find out who the closest missed is usually when there's an injury replacement, the commissioner gives the guy who had the next most votes. Otherwise, we never find out. They do a great job of keeping that quiet. And there's a reason coaches don't want to give opposing players reason.
Yeah, I don't want to give any guy ammunition to be trying to go at my team when he plays against me because he thought I snubbed
him. But the one thing you really notice, coaches typically don't reward rookies and young players, which will be interesting with Trae Young if he doesn't get the voting.
The fan vote isn't enough.
As you mentioned, very good numbers. Will they reward a guy who's regarded as one of the worst defenders on one of the worst teams in the league? That'll be an interesting.
He's not regarded as one of the worst defenders. The numbers are the numbers.
Right.
He is in the bottom five of all NBA players.
Bottom three, I believe.
Yeah. And again, that's why I said winning is my number one thing I look at. And a lot of times, a young guy on a team that's not necessarily winning, they get the snub sometimes because of that.
Well, that's my bone to pick with you guys. Yes, I understand that a great player should help his team win. And again, you can go back to the Jimmy Butler example. Eric Spoelstra just made this point down in Miami. He said, look, his box score numbers might not be up with some of these other superstars in the league, but he does more to help our team win than,
right.
You know, he does as much as anyone in the league to help our team win. I get that aspect, but when you're talking about a Ja Morant, a Trae Young, I wouldn't hold either of those guys responsible for whether their team has a winning record or not. Those are franchises that got those players because they had such a big turnaround that they needed to make. The rest of the roster needs to make a turnaround. And I do think there's an argument when picking the reserves. Again, it's the All-Star game. It is about the flash and dazzle.
They got a young guys game, right, that they still play?
The Rising Stars game,
yeah,
but come on.
They can go hang out over there for All-Star weekend.
He is completely on brand for NBA coaches.
He is. I would like everyone. Okay, anyway.
Typical coach.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Coming up, we're going to talk about Kyle Kuzma. He stepped up again Saturday for the Lakers in their win over Houston. But with AD coming back tonight, yes, Anthony Davis is returning. What should the Lakers do with Kuz? First, before we get to that, though, it's time for our distant replay. That's this date in 2005. Josh Smith making distant today.
He leaks out, throws it up.
I think I was in Atlanta there.
That's a highlight special.
You see yourself on the side? That's really what we got to know.
I'm absolutely sure. I was assistant coach
nice.
For that team.
He could really get up.
Ooh.
He's still getting checked from the Pistons.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or miss league.
Oh, I have no idea.
Make. Miss. It's a make or miss league.
The Warriors are opening up a 12-point lead with 3 minutes left in the third quarter.
And your plus.
Get him both in the stat sheet right there. My plus minus as a sideline reporter is phenomenal.
Man, you paint your head.
Hey, that's my family. With the floater.
Brother-in-law.
Khaleesi, Bob Fisher, and Steph Curry
will
be back.
I mean, come on. Steph Curry doing sideline reporting for the Warriors over the weekend. We've seen Clay do this a few times as well. So, Fizz, which Splash brother has a brighter future working the sideline?
I don't know. It's a tough call. You know, I'm sick of those two because they're the best shooters in the league. They got all the rings, and now they're taking over the sidelines.
I'm telling you.
So it's like, what can't they do?
It's not like their game. Steph, way more up front and in your face. Clay, a little more subtle greatness.
Right. Clay just kind of hangs back.
Just
and
says a few things singer. That make you
And there you go. He needs some scaffolding over there in his position, though. Missed technology. More Clay Thompson. Washington State retiring Clay's jersey over the weekend. But we saw him using a flip phone during the game. Does this surprise you, Brian?
You know, in the post Tiger Woods world, I'm surprised that flip phones are still in use.
Brian.
But I would say that he does post on Instagram.
He does.
He's got good Instagram. So He's got to have an iPhone somewhere.
Somewhere, because that phone's not doing anything on it.
Well, people do say, even his teammates said they have a hard time texting and reaching him a lot of the time. So maybe that's when
he's an old school guy. He reads newspapers, so I'm gonna support it.
So when, with the flip phone, don't you have to hit the button
right,
multiple times to get through the letters?
Right, so if you want like to hit a C, you've got to go three times to get the C.
Just get a K. In
this look, the most people watching this show have no idea what we're talking about. Make second effort. I'm telling you. Heat Spurs yesterday, late in the third quarter. Derrick Jones Jr. goes at Jakob Poeltl.
Oof.
Woo. Denied. Thank Airplane mode getting the put back dunk all over him.
He's just going to keep coming at you until he gets you.
Right?
He's put a lot of people on posters this year.
Yep, absolutely. Let's revenge.
We don't shame people who try to block shots.
I know, but
you don't want to get caught watching, though, underneath that rim when he's in the game. He got kind of caught watching on that one. I mean, he can jump.
We do cheer airplane mode because I love watching that man go.
Slam dunk contest.
Missed the rolls. Hawks Spurs Friday night. DeAndre Bembry at the free throw line but decides to pump fake. Turns out that's a violation and a turnover. Does everyone know this? Like, do your young players know you can't do this?
Oh, no, they know. But he probably felt very uncomfortable before he was about to release that thing and ended up wanting to do
what's worse, an airball free throw or getting called for a violation? I say the violation is an easier thing to accept. So if you don't think it's coming out right, you might as well just bring it back.
Yeah,
and you're like, at least I meant to do that.
The airball is a tough one.
Made a valued decision.
Let's check out who was in the zone, brought to you by AutoZone. Kyle Kuzma certainly in that zone, scoring 23 points, 17 in the second half on Saturday against the Rockets. But really it was his defense on Russell Westbrook that was so key for the Lakers' win. This was actually a halftime adjustment suggested by Rajon Rondo, Coach Rondo.
Yep.
Kuzma held Westbrook to only 13 second half points after Russ went off for 22 in the first half. Now the Lakers also received some news this morning. Anthony Davis wasn't able to make it back for that Saturday night game, but he will play tonight after missing the team's last five with that bruised backside.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of where we're going with now. Kuzma has stepped up in Davis's absence, but now I think that trade rumor circulation is going to start all over again for Kuz. So, Coach, what should the Lakers do with Kyle Kuzma?
I think these last five games have been great for him because it gave him opportunity to kind of take on a new role. I think the kid has a huge upside still, and you don't know what he can become in the next 3 months if they really figure out his niche. And I just don't know if you're going to get back something as valuable as he is in a trade. And so with those veterans that they have on that roster that can guide him and teach him and really make him understand winning basketball, I would stay with that kid. And I think in the playoffs, what Rondo did was not a short-term decision. That suggestion was not just for that game.
Mm-hmm.
Rondo's thinking about how do we win in the playoffs, how do we win a title. And Kuzma's going to have to defend in switching situations, small guards, athletic guards.
This seems like it's probably a really important decision for the way the Lakers to discuss their short-term future. I think they probably feel a lot like Coach says, which is a player that they would trade for is probably not going to have the upside at all that Kuzma would have. I think the player that you would trade for may be able to help you win a championship this year more than Kuzma potentially could.
Sure.
That, you know, LeBron's not getting younger. I mean, if you can win a championship this year, do you look to upgrade? I think the one thing that the Lakers have going for them that other teams in this situation would not is they are such a draw for free agents. So whether it's a Darren Collison or if it's an Andre Iguodala, if he becomes a free agent, they have other ways that they may be able to beat other teams than in the trade market. And that may be a little bit of a gamble to assume that you're going to be able to get a free agent who comes to you, but I think it's safer for the Lakers to play that game than another team who would have this exact same position.
It's a gamble because, first of all, the Clippers are out there beating the bushes for the same thing because neither team has a lot of assets to give up. And also it's a gamble because Andre Iguodala might not be bought out. He might not be available. A team may come to Memphis. They have held on to him for this long. Some team may come to them and say, hey, we'll give you a second rounder for him. And there's no reason for Memphis not to do it at that point when they get to that 11th hour. And then maybe he's a Philadelphia Sixer again. Like, who knows what's going to happen to Andre Iguodala? Who knows if Darren Collison's actually going to want to come back and play? That hasn't happened yet. So I do wonder if you depend on that buyout market too much, but they don't have that much to give.
And the other thing is, when AD is playing, Kuzma's role is just diminished. It just is. It's not anybody's fault. They got a Hall of Famer who's playing in front of them. That's just a situation.
But I think they're going to figure out how to tweak those rotations and those lineups to where they can highlight Kuzma more as they move forward. So, mm-hmm. you know, as AD gets out of the game, you have Kuzma on the floor, and now you start to highlight him in different ways. And I think they can start evolving his role a little bit more. But I just think kids like that, they take jumps during the season. Yeah. They get better during the year. And
Especially since he couldn't play much this summer because he had the injury.
How many games did he miss already?
No, he missed several chunks,
and so,
too.
You know, just getting his feet, you know, underneath him first was the most important thing. And now he's got to start establishing that role and what he's going to become. But I just think they have too many intelligent guys around him, guys that's one big. That's going to seep into him, and I think that he can really help them in the playoffs.
Well, look, that's the best-case scenario for the Lakers, right, is that if Kuz evolves to a point where why would they ever trade him, right? The idea that if they can keep what they have without having tried to scrounge up more assets or make more win-now decisions, if he can evolve into what they absolutely need, that's great. That's what you want. It's just a question. He's not quite there yet. The fit isn't quite there yet, so we'll have to see if they're willing to bank on that because the trade deadline is only 3 weeks away. All right, Saturday night on ABC, you can see more of the Lakers. They'll be in Philly when they take on the Sixers. Our coverage begins with The Jump at 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 Pacific. That's also on the ESPN app. We'll see you there. Coming up, Coach Fizdale will let us know how his former team in New York can get better from here forward. We'll talk about players he's excited about. And, you know, what were you thinking kind of things. You need to stick around for this. All right, let's talk about Zion Williamson, because we know he's been out since preseason.
People ask if Zion will be shut down for the year.
We will have to wait and see what Zion Williamson does.
The imminent return of Zion Williamson.
Zion coming back is going to give this team more energy in the second half.
It was up to me. I'd have been out there like 2 weeks ago.
I'm ready.
Yeah, let me go.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday night, Zion Williamson expected to make his long-awaited, much-anticipated NBA debut for the Pelicans. So first on the night, we'll have Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, and the Raptors hosting at 7 o'clock Eastern. And then, Zion time, Pelicans taking on the Spurs, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, alongside ESPN's NBA insider Brian Windhorst, and the man, the myth, the legend, former head coach in both Memphis and New York, Dave Fizdale, back in the building. We are so thrilled. I do want to start with your Knicks tenure, though, Fiz, because it's the first time you've been on the show since we saw you there on the sidelines, parted ways with the Knicks after just 1.25 seasons as their head coach. Now, I want to make something clear. Because of the contract you have with them, you are not legally allowed to talk about everything. So the reason I'm not asking every question and he can't say everything is because we don't break the law here at The Jump. But I do want to know what part of your tenure was harder than what you envisioned when you first took the job.
I just think, you know, for me personally, the toughest part was that I didn't fulfill what I went there to do, which was I really wanted to give the fans a relative team a winner. And, you know, the fan base was so awesome and so passionate about the team. And the fact that I couldn't get the team over the hump to where I wanted to get it to, you know, that part is hard, for a tough pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm really rooting for them. I really hope that they can get that team to where it can get to. Obviously, we all know that when the Knicks are good, the league is good. And, you know, like I said, I'm cheering for those guys.
The day that he was hired, the press conference that they had with him and Scott Perry and Steve mm-hmm. Mills was one of the most uplifting days of the last decade for the Knicks. The plan that they laid out and that they were intending to follow, I was very excited about. I thought that they picked the right coach. Only Fiz knows how many other jobs he could have had besides the Knicks. It was multiple. And I felt like they were following that plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got derailed. And they were throwing a curveball when Porzingis said he didn't want to be there going forward. I agree with that.
You know how I feel about, though, there's so much that led up to that. You cannot put that
true.
Just on the shoulders.
But they also didn't have to trade him within 15 minutes
yes.
of him saying that.
It's almost like they had a deal in place before they had that meeting. It's
I just think that the team that if we would have listened, if they would have followed through with what they said they were going to do when they hired him, I feel like the Knicks would be in a really good place today, even though Porzingis gave them the curveball and even though they didn't get lucky in the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Because I really do believe that that was the right path to take. And they wanted their fans to trust them, and they wanted to go slow and not take shortcuts. Then they lose out in the free agent market, and they take shortcuts with the way this team was built.
I mean, look, this is not necessarily the roster that, look, owner Jim Dolan came out and said in the preview, your first year, he wanted a big free agent class. He expected free agents to get there. It was not the roster that you started the season with that maybe Nick's brass envisioned in their wildest dreams when they started. You did have, I mean, look, Marcus Morris having a career year. There were some players going out and doing them. What do you see as sort of how the Knicks can go forward with these guys they have signed, a lot of guys on short-term contracts, trying to just kind of make their mark before they know they get moved on again? How do you make this into a cohesive team?
Well, I think that they have really good young talent, and those young guys are going to keep getting better. I think they got to continue to draft well because they have a lot of picks over the next few years. And then with the veterans that they did sign, they have to figure out which guys they want to retain and which guys they want to move on from. But they do have a lot of cap space there, and they will have an opportunity to get back in the free agency market this summer. And so I really think they're in a good position. I know a lot of people don't, and a lot of people are down on them, but I actually think that they're in a good position going into the summer to make some good things happen for the organization.
Well, they might want to have a little bit more variance in the kinds of free agents that they sign. They end up going at the same position for a lot of guys. Was that a nice way to say that? It was okay.
It was artfully said. the challenge is that R.J. Barrett, he has a good-looking future, and I know you've spoken very highly of him.
Oh, I love him.
But R.J. is not Ja. And, again, that's not the Knicks' fault. They got the third pick, not the second pick. If they had Ja and not R.J., we'd feel a lot better about their future. But where the difficulty is they have R.J. Barrett, who's a ball handler, and they have Mitchell Robinson, who's a rim-rocking center defender. And then they signed a bunch of guys who don't necessarily complement that thing. So, again, I would say to the Knicks, you had picked your path, you were on your path, you drove off the road. Now, get back on the road. Decide what that road is and get back on it. And I don't know if the guys who are running the team are going to be allowed to do that, but they did have a good plan. And that's what's so disappointing about this is that I really felt like it could have worked this time. It's not just a pipe dream, if I have to say that.
What does RJ need to do so that his talent is what gets him through the next season or two as opposed to the environment around him?
Well, I just think that the way he works is he's going to get there. I'm not concerned about that. I think just becoming a more consistent jump shooter will open up everything for him because I'm telling you, the kid belongs in New York. He can handle it. Nothing shakes him. He loves the moment. He gets to the rim against anyone. He makes plays for other people, and he really takes the challenge defensively. And so to have a kid that age already physically ready to do it, I just think it's a matter of time before his jumper catches up with the rest of his game. And once it does, the league better watch out.
Do you have any regrets when you look back on that year and a quarter?
I don't live in regret. I learn from mistakes, and I move forward.
All right. Well, we'll see those when you get another head coaching job, which I know you will. So
thank
we will see you learn from any of those mistakes and move forward. Let's move forward on our show. The Spurs picking up a big win over the Heat Sunday night, partly in thanks to a successful coaches challenge in the fourth quarter. It was interesting to watch because San Antonio assistant coach Becky Hammon motivated Pop to dispute a continuation call on a Jimmy Butler bucket. He sort of waved her off at first. Then she came at him a second time, and then he finally made the signal there. Not all challenges have gone swimmingly. So I want to know how you felt because you worked under the system as a head coach. What do you think about the coach's challenge rule?
I'm 50-50 on it, but I do think that it adds a whole nother element to the game for situations like that. You can win a game or lose a game based on that. Future head coach Becky Hammon came through and really won a big game for Pop and those guys. But what I tried to do was I always tried to hold my challenge as long as possible for situations like that. And I even had a coach on the staff that was designated to really lock in on that part of the game and give me good feedback on when to challenge and which ones. The hardest part is to pass up on some.
Right.
When you know, like, oh, that's a bad call. You got to be able to walk away from that sometimes knowing that you may need that thing in the last 2 minutes of a game.
Or you may need the timeout.
Or the timeout, right.
Because
exactly.
A lot of coaches would rather have a timeout where they can get their guys together and drop a play than
something that went the other way.
Have a challenge where you may win the challenge and still not get the ball. And what drove Spo crazy about this play was he felt that it went beyond the 30 seconds. And the other thing is the rules are so new and everybody's still learning about them. And the NBA is still learning how to apply it, and the coaches are still learning their strategy.
Yeah.
That it's a bit of a mess at times. It gets messy. You know, there was just a game between Utah and New Orleans a couple of weeks ago where clearly there was a foul at the buzzer on Rudy Gobert, but they didn't call the foul. So it's kind of like in football.
You can't review something that didn't get called that doesn't exist.
Right. So in football, the referees learned to let a fumble go and let the team pick it up and run it back for a touchdown, even if it looks clearly that it's not, so that you can review it.
Right.
The officials haven't learned how to call it yet. It hasn't, you know. But I'm going to tell you this. No matter what any of the coaches say, and I've done a lot of talking to coaches about this, it's not going away. Adam Silver wants us to be there. If anything, I think it expands. So this is just going to be part of a longer process.
And everyone will adapt.
Yeah.
Like you said, the league will adjust. The officials will adjust. The coaches will get better at it. I'm sure they'll tinker with a few things to make it more efficient. But I like the one thing I do like about it, it adds a whole nother element to the game that's exciting and could really change the view of a game.
I love it. I've loved it since we started talking about it. I'm thrilled they put it in. I would like them to actually have a red flag. I would like it to be required to be kept in the sock so that we could see all the coaches' socks as they have to put them out. Right? Or something like
throw
that. I do think that it should be limited to the fourth quarter because I think that would take some pressure off coaches to use it early. I didn't see any of your players doing this to you. I have seen some, especially superstar players in this league, feel that they were not given the right call and they walk back to the bench doing this. And the dynamic between a big star and his coach is already tenuous enough.
Yeah, but you know, as a coach, you got to be able to tell him, no, we're not pulling that trigger right now. Unless, like, I think that the way you really have to protect your players is this foul trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can keep a guy from getting to a bad place with foul trouble, then you do it early. But otherwise, sometimes you got to tell your star, chill.
Fizz has no problem standing up to his players. That I can verify.
I'm aware of that. We don't have that situation everywhere in the NBA. Coming up, Bucks GM John Horst said it's the team's job to, quote, create a winning environment around Giannis. I will ask the guys just what Milwaukee needs to do around the reigning MVP. And here's what The Jump recommends for today. The Undefeated checks in with how NBA players and coaches like Kevin Durant, Brandon Clark, Lloyd Pierce are inspired by Martin Luther King as we and the entire league honor him on this day.
And if it wasn't for what Martin Luther King stood for, then obviously we wouldn't have the game we have today and the diversity that we have today.
I'm a firm believer in the connectivity of all humans, that we all have to look out for each other, be kind and be good to each other. And there's really no greater example of that than being on a team and having to cooperate and work together and strive towards a common goal.
When the person to the right of you sees that you have their best interest and you're sacrificing something to help them, and that might encourage them to do the same thing, and then, you know, it just continues to go on and on.
SportsCenter, 6 o'clock Eastern. PTI, L. Duncan, Zubin Mehenti on this MLK Day, remembering how Kurt Flood started a movement that would change sports forever. Woo! The Bucks, NBA best, 38-6 behind reigning MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now look, I know Milwaukee fans get frustrated when the media talks about his potential free agency in 2021. We talk about it because Bucks brass is talking about it. GM John Horst joining the Woj pod to discuss his plan to keep the Greek freak.
The environment and the culture we've tried to create in Milwaukee, and I think we've done a good job so far, is there is a family environment. We do care about personal parts of each other's lives outside of basketball, and we try to celebrate those things and share those things with each other. At the end of the day, we believe that if we can create a system that Giannis can thrive in, we can plug in players around him that will help him thrive and will help the system thrive. We can do that in Milwaukee. We can do it with a great superstar. We can do it with a great coach and have a great system in play. I think we're going to have a chance.
All right, so Brian, what do you think of his plans?
I think the Bucks and John Horst have done a spectacular job.
Yep.
If you look at the way that team is built, it is ideally structured around him. He seems happy. He seems invested. They haven't been fortunate enough to be able to get a second superstar. That said, they have done the best they possibly can to add to that team. But unfortunately, in this modern-day NBA, you are constantly tested by the superstars. And unless Giannis is being charitable, it's hard for me to understand why he would extend next summer.
Why he would take the Supermax offer, which the ownership has already let slip. No surprise, they're going to
give it. Well, my gosh, if they don't, they need to have their minds examined. Now, if they win a championship this year and he walks off the parade and they're holding the paper and he's emotional and he just signs it, That'd be great for everybody.
Right.
But Giannis is going to be a supermax player no matter what happens, whether it's next year or the year after. And so this is the difficulty that exists with this new concept of extending. It turns the extension into the pressure point. Because if the player doesn't extend, all of a sudden there's all this drama. And Giannis has shown no hint that he wants to be anywhere but Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. But if they don't win the championship especially, I just don't see, he doesn't have an incentive to sign it.
Right.
And that could, and that is no fault of Milwaukee, their fans, John Horst, Mike Budenholzer. That's the system we have. And I'm going to tell you something else, Coach. If Giannis doesn't sign the Supermax and stay there, the entire Supermax thing will have been a failure. Because the way the Supermax was written in was specifically for this exact situation to keep Giannis, because this is the point where Kevin Durant...
Isn't the Supermax already a failure? The Supermax was designed as a bribe. Guess what? Bribing NBA players, these superstars who already make hundreds of millions of dollars throughout their career, who get so much money in endorsements, they are not able to be bribed to throw away their prime on an organization that they feel doesn't deserve it. It hasn't worked. I know it was a reaction to Kevin Durant leaving Oklahoma City.
Right.
I get it. The teams wanted, to your point of, hey, that pressure point comes now a season earlier. They want basically a heads up. Right? Oklahoma City felt it didn't get enough of a heads up on KD and that they might have been able to deal him for something as opposed to having him walk away. But I don't know. I'm kind of with Brian that Giannis could absolutely love being in Milwaukee, have no intention on leaving. Why should he have to make that commitment a year early when he could make the same commitment for the same amount of money and stay in Milwaukee? I'm not saying he should leave Milwaukee. I am not saying that. But just keep his options as open as the team's options get to be. Because if he signs the extension, a year later, they could trade him if they wanted to. And again, I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
But again, why wouldn't he want the same rights the team has?
But I think it's a security blanket, too. I mean, this is an injury league as well. I mean, and so if you get it in ink, at least you know your contract is done and you don't have to be worried about if you get hurt or
not. I think that's what the league hopes. But Kevin Durant just tore his Achilles and got a full max. He didn't lose a dime.
No doubt about it. I'm not saying it wouldn't, but you just never know how that goes from an injury standpoint. But I think at the end of the day, I think everything you guys said is right. The Milwaukee Bucks have done everything right. They've created an incredible environment. And I think for Giannis, at least in my opinion, why I think he should stay there is Coach Budenholzer. Mm-hmm. The relationship that they've built, the system that he's built around him, the way he's opened up that floor and has allowed him to thrive and have developed his game under Coach. I just think that when you find that kind of relationship as a player, you got to stick with that and ride it out, because eventually you get over the hump.
In fact, even if he went to another organization, I would find it hard to believe that that organization could do a better job putting the team around him than the Bucks have.
No.
That said, if in 2021 there is a superstar in wait there and there's Giannis could come and he doesn't have rings, I could see him, just because that's the nature of the NBA. So it's uncomfortable.
I would love to see a guy that's a free agent go there to play with Giannis.
Yes.
I would really like
and
to
I,
see
and,
that.
And why shouldn't they? It's been proven itself as a class organization. They've done the right things. The guys have so much fun. You see them in the pregame locker room, you know, pregame hallway, right, and doing all that stuff. They're winning. If I am another star around the league, I am definitely giving that head.
They have a world-class arena. They have a world-class practice facility. There's no reason not for him to sign, except for the fact that the calendar doesn't agree with it.
He's got to recruit, maybe. Maybe Giannis should be doing a little bit of recruiting. I know the Bucks are continuing to recruit Giannis. Maybe Giannis is doing, we'll see. Mike Conley, let's talk about him, because he returned to the Jazz Saturday after missing 19 of his previous 20 games with a hamstring injury. Conley played 15 minutes off the bench in the win over the Kings. Now, during his absence, Joe Ingles moved into the starting lineup, and the Jazz have gone 17-4 in the last 21 games he's played, all as a starter. So, Fizz, you coach Mike Conley in Memphis. You guys are close. What do you think is the best role for him right now on this team, especially also where Donovan Mitchell was able to play and all that stuff?
I just think they need to slow walk his injury and not rush him back to playing big minutes, because I think for them, what they're trying to get to is a higher place in the playoffs. And Mike Conley is going to be a big part of that movement forward. And so I think they got to really be cautious in the way that they treat his injury. And if that means bringing him off the bench for a while and playing him low minutes, then that's what it is. I know Mike is so selfless. He'll do whatever they ask of him. But I know in the playoffs, you want that guy on the floor playing minutes for you because he's got ice water in his veins and he's a big time player.
The correct decision for now is to bring him off the bench. It may not be in a month, but for now, it's to bring him off the bench.
All right. Up next, we're going to be talking about Kemba Walker. This number is crazy, guys. Wait for it. He is 0 for 28 all times playing against LeBron James. That includes the playoffs. 0 for 28. Can Kemba Walker just get a little something here? How can he finally break the streak tonight? First, though, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one from this date in 2007, and I don't know who it could be.
Are you in the building for this one, too, Coach?
Also, he's got to watch from behind. Look out!
Oh!
Oh! We thought it was going to be a dunk, but it wasn't.
Hey, and I had him. He was 40 years old in Memphis, and he did a 360 dunk in the game.
He does exactly the same move.
Guy doesn't age. Now. I'm tired of him.
Whew. Four decades in the NBA. Wait, not 4 decades. I'm taking a
High Note is minutes away. Pablo and I will discuss the Packers fumbling their shot at the Super Bowl.
How much credit should Jimmy Garoppolo get for just attempting 8 passes?
Is Patrick Mahomes the best quarterback we've ever seen?
And Tom Brady is dropping hints about his future in New England. So stay tuned.
Wednesday night, we've got Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, and the Raptors hosting the Sixers at 7 Eastern. And then it is Zion Williamson time, his NBA debut. Pelicans taking on the Spurs, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. And it is crunch time here on The Jump. Earlier, hoops, Martin Luther King Day. We got him all day. Andre Drummond switching out on Bradley Beal, and it does not go well.
Oh.
Wizards bench can't control themselves.
Taking advantage of the switch.
Hard to stop a Mack truck from going downhill.
I mean, Andre needs some help there, right, Coach?
Yeah, I don't know if he should be out there.
That's a tough one. Ugh.
That bench is amazing.
Oh.
That's amazing. By the way, if they can get that kind of bench play next season when you get John Wall back, I'm just saying. I think it was
okay, Wizards supported
it. I'm just saying they're fun. No defense, but they're fun. Marcus Smart hit 11 threes on Phoenix on the way to beating Phoenix on Saturday. He shot 50%. 22 attempts. Now, they did lose the game, but still, 11 threes.
He's fearless. He's fearless, and he worked on his three ball all summer. You can tell with the way he's letting it go. And he's just crazy enough to hit that.
You know, I would never thought we'd ever see this from Marcus Smart, but frankly, they need these baskets right now. They're struggling. They need some shooting from their role players.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the Celtics hosting the Lakers tonight. Good news for both teams on the injury front. Anthony Davis, Jaylen Brown, and Kemba Walker all making their returns tonight. So a good stock game. LeBron, taking advantage of being in Massachusetts, drove over to Springfield earlier today for his son's high school game at the Basketball Hall of Fame. LeBron will go head-to-head with Kemba Walker in Boston later tonight, and it has been a one-sided matchup. LeBron, guys, is 28-0 all-time versus Kemba. That includes a four-game playoff sweep in 2014.
You were there for that?
I was there.
I was there. I was the sideline reporter for you guys for that one, and it could have been a three-game sweep. It was not close. 28-0, though. Usually, like, something happens in some game where you can get a game in there.
Kemba hasn't paid one of his goons to take him out yet. You gotta get LeBron out of the game. That's what you gotta do.
The Hornets did actually beat the Cavs once while LeBron was in Cleveland, but Kemba was out that game. So this doesn't really reflect on Kemba as much as it reflects on the greatness of the Heat and the Cavs and the difficulty of his years in Charlotte. But Kemba's coming off of a sore knee. I guarantee. And the Celtics need a big win. I guarantee he's going to bring everything he can tonight because he never wants to hear this stat again.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. He's a big-time player.
I do want to skip over to our LeagueCast game of the night, Thunder at Rockets. This is going to be their third regular season matchup. Now, OKC and Houston split the first two. They're only 3 games apart in the standings. Fizz, did you imagine we would be saying that coming into the season?
I tell you what, you got to give Billy Donovan and those guys a ton of credit for what they've done. Sam Presti, to me right now, is executive of the year for what he pulled off in the offseason, and to have this team competing for playoffs, it's really awesome to see. And I think Chris Paul has actually found a home that he feels really good about. He's got 2 young guards that he can mentor now, and they're playing great basketball.
You know what? I think if both teams had the option to undo the deal right now, they wouldn't. I think both teams are kind of actually happy with where they are. a year from now. Let's see where it is.
I don't know, man. I am really interested. There was a lot of buzz the last time these teams played. I expect it again today. Thanks to these guys for joining me. Jump is back tomorrow. See you then.